Live from Africa and to the rest of the world, this is CII Radio. Independent, authentic, and dedicated to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Bumper to Bumper. And as we welcome this new month of Safar 1445, in fact. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Jameel.
Wa alaikum salam, Ziad. Wow, that's...
Can you believe we're already in the second month?
Yes, true. It's really flying.
Yeah.
1 month went, felt like a week.
We almost near Ramadan again.
We'll be pushing it a little bit, but time is flying.
So today on the show, we are going to be talking about a new car from Suzuki. We're also going to be talking to, chatting to Shiraz Bawa from SA Beamer. We're talking milestones today as well.
Okay.
And we'll have a bit of industry news.
Oh, it was quite a decent week for motoring. There were some big new launches and new reveals and stuff like that.
And facelifts as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Some of the cars had a bit of Botox done to them.
definitely. Okay, so let's start at the very beginning. You're talking about milestones, right? What milestones are we talking about firstly?
So,
something that you have a very big smile about.
So alhamdulillah, was it 2 weeks ago we spoke about the 100th test car that I was to get. And alhamdulillah, it graced our garage. And it was the BMW 320D LCI.
Nice. That was the nice silver one you had, right?
Yes, the one that you also joined me in then.
I mean, you know, you're getting BMWs and such a nice one for your 100th. I mean, that's nice, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah.
It's great.
It was very special to me because I can remember when the first 320D came out. It was in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
So now I'm revealing my age. My dad actually test drove, but then it was still, there was no automatic, there was only the manual.
Yeah.
And when you put it into second gear, the power that car had, and you know, in Durban, you have all these hills, and that car could take on any hill. You just put that car into second and
so
you just flying.
Did you guys own a 320?
No, we didn't own it. My father didn't buy it, but we did test drive
Please
it.
Please tell me you phoned him or you told him, hey, listen, Dad, I'm driving the 320D now.
I did. I show him all the cars that I test drive.
Okay,
he waits to see all the cars. I'm sure he's listening to it now and saying, you know.
You're allowed to give a shout out, just by the way.
Oh, okay. I guess. Assalamu alaikum, Dad. So at that time also, it was one of the first sedans to come out with a diesel engine. So there was obviously your SUVs, your Bakis that all had the diesel engines, but for a sedan to come out in a diesel was something, you know, outstanding.
Yeah.
And obviously BMW being at the forefront of it, so putting that badge.
If I'm not mistaken, I think it was a 320 diesel E46 actually won the engine of the year.
Is it? Possibly.
I think so.
I think it would still win the engine of the year because they have perfected that engine. I think in terms of the sedan, even in the SUV market, they've perfected that diesel engine in the family car.
So what I really like about it is it's a sporty drive, but the economy is next level. I mean, I'm sure you spent a couple of days with it. How's your consumption?
Well, if I tell you that we did over 600, almost 700 kilometers.
Yeah.
I still had more than a quarter tank left, and the range was still like over 200 kilometers.
Yeah. No, those especially, you know, on the open roads, long roads. And like I'm saying, it's not like a compromise. It's really, in my eyes, okay, it's expensive. I mean, why what's the price of it? Like, what, 900?
It's 900. I don't think it's expensive because, I mean, if you can compare it to its competitors.
Yeah.
You're getting the same. You're paying the same price.
Yeah, I just don't have money, so it's expensive to me. But I mean, look, the 3 Series, the C Class, the A4, they've all really like grown up, you know. And I mean, however you look at it, once you spec it, you're looking at a million rand vehicle. But I do think it's one of the better million rand vehicles. And I know that sounds crazy, but it's such a good all rounder. I mean, it looks really stunning.
Well, like you're talking about the performance, it's not that heavy M performance, so it's not like raw performance, but it has the torque, it has the speed. I mean, you're driving that car and literally you have to try and bring it back to 120 all the time.
So, you know, that's something that's so subjective as well. Like, you know, people always talk about, oh, when you think of like a fast car, it's like M4, M3, whatever, upwards, you know. And in all honesty, it's not very usable power. It's such a waste. They're so heavy on fuel. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, they're thrilling to drive and absolutely amazing experience. But in terms of usable everyday power, this is all you need. I'm looking at, like, you know, from a practical point of view, there's a truck in front of you. You need to overtake, put your foot down and go on. You know, it's effortless.
Yeah, it is. It is that effortless. And it's 140 kilowatts. So, I mean, you don't need anything more than that.
Yeah.
It's got the comfort for your family. You've got the luggage space for your family.
Oh, yes. It's got like a very deep
boot. Yes. Yeah. And like you say, the speed, the comfort, the performance, everything is there. Luxury as well.
Yeah.
It's sheer driving pleasure.
No, definitely. I think BMW actually hits that on the head. And also, because it's the LCI, they really like gave it a nice new look. I mean, the old one wasn't a bad looking car, but throughout history, LCIs have always just taken that model to the next level. But also, if you are owner of the old one, it leaves you a little heartbroken, you know?
But the 3 Series itself, I don't think there was ever a 3 Series that I didn't like.
Okay.
You know, the shape of it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of manufacturers that just lost the ball, you know, now and again. But I think with the 3 Series especially, maybe some of the other BMWs, they did lose a plot with some of the other ones. But the 3 Series sedan we're talking about, we're not talking about anything else. Yeah, the sedan,
yeah.
They always seemed to, I don't think perfect it, get it right all the time. But I mean, there was nothing that you could point a finger and say, I didn't like that
shape.
Do you think
they played it safe by not putting those big grills on the 3 Series because they knew it might just take away from their bread and butter?
I don't know. We could have seen it with it, and maybe we would have been different. We would have said something different. The grill that it had on now was very nice. Wow. I really like it.
This one is still like, call it from the old BMW style. The new grills are like, obviously,
yeah,
you know. But I would say the 3 Series still kind of held into that proportionate looking grill, you know, compared to the 7. You know, the 7 is just wild. I mean,
but the whole look, like you say, this LCI, the smoked rear lights, the way they've now changed the headlights where it was at the bottom, now it's at the top.
Yeah.
Even the fact that I was telling my son that when the 3 Series 320D came out, because of the emissions of the diesel, you had to have the pipe facing down. And now you have this M-Sport kit on it, and you've got 2 tailpipes at the back.
Like functional proper tailpipe?
Well, it looks like it. I smell the diesel coming.
Your reaction was priceless. You're like, what do you mean they can't be fake? No, but LCI definitely. I think the thing with LCI is I'm almost certain the LCI is designed when it's when the first gen hits the launches, because it's really minute, tiny changes that make such a world of difference. If you look at the E46, if you look at the E90s, F30s, it's just minor changes.
But this wasn't minor, because now they've changed the whole cockpit.
Okay.
So you've got like almost like you've got a hyperscreen. So you've got 2 screens,
right.
You've got a new gear selector,
right.
New start-stop button. So they've taken away the radio. They've taken away your orange background color,
right.
And they replaced it with a whole new cockpit. So
one thing I really liked about this one's interior that you had was the design of the, you know, that like fascias.
Yes, yes,
it wasn't,
yes.
Obviously, a carbon fiber is like a little obnoxious for me now.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not driving a Porsche or something, just like, we don't need the carbon fiber. And wood grain, I'm sorry. I just, maybe once I reach my 50s or something, it might
when you own a Rolls.
Maybe then. But honestly, I think this like design is a lot more functional also, because the piano black is like one of the worst things in the world. You touch that thing and it looks horrible, you know?
No, I think they've put a lot of effort into it, the design, the detail, and as I said, launching that whole new, I was very happy to see, because I've not been complaining, but I said, you know, everybody else is moving forward. BMW is still stuck with this 20-year-old cockpit. You know, you know it's familiar, which is nice. You know, I have no problem with it, because you jump into a BMW and you almost feel comfortable. You know, you're at home type of thing. But it's a nice new, and the way they designed it also, it's not. You know, some of these newer cars, it's not user friendly, whereas this is very user friendly.
Tell me something, is there volume buttons or that?
There is.
Okay, then I'm happy.
The only thing is you have to control your whole climate control from your screen now.
Oh gosh, so I can't just like turn it up or make it cold by just turning a dial. It's
Yeah, so. So
okay.
they've removed the whole climate control and everything is on the screen.
Okay, and then how's the usability though?
It's fine.
I think as time goes, as much as I complain about it, we are kind of getting used to it. I think it just it needs time. You know, we need to really understand that we're now working with an iPad in the car, you know.
Yeah. No, we will get used to it. It's something that we have to evolve with. I mean, we've done it with all the other previous cars as well. So it's something, yeah.
Okay, no, so we're talking BM and perfect opportunity to talk to Shiraz, right? So
Yes.
tell me about Shiraz before we get him on the line.
So Shiraz Bawa is the founder of SA Beamer, for those that don't know. But Shiraz is obviously going to tell us a bit more about SA Beamer. So SA Beamer is basically showcasing the BMW car culture in South Africa. So if you go on Instagram right now, you'll see his page SA Beamer, and you'll just see BMWs. That's all you see.
So he only does obviously the name SA Beamer, but
Yes.
only BM and only
Only
Instagram.
BMWs. And no, he has a website as well. They have a magazine as well that they publish. But I don't want to take anything away from Shiraz. He will explain everything. But any BMW that you want to see will be on his page, from the oldest BMW to the newest BMW, what's for sale, the breakfast runs, the
So it's full
festivals.
on like BMW car culture,
Yeah.
basically.
So he's the original. If you see anything else, you know that they've copied Shiraz Bawa, because he is the OG of the BMW car culture online, basically.
So yeah, let's do this. Let's take a break. Let's come back. We chat to Shiraz, and we can find out everything about his show.
Perfect.
From our headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa, to the rest of Africa, this is CII Radio Live.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. With us on the line is Shiraz Bawa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother Shiraz. How are you this evening?
Assalamu warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah, and how are you guys this evening?
Alhamdulillah, we're doing well,
Alhamdulillah.
Shiraz.
So Shiraz, tell us a bit about SA Beamer and what you guys are doing.
Okay, so basically, just a recap of SA Beamer. What we are is we are a social magazine, an independent magazine showcasing BMW and its drivers across South Africa. You know, the BMW have a big following in South Africa. I mean, coming back from the 70s, 80s with our parents, with our grandfathers, there were always BMWs in the family. And we find that a lot of people in South Africa can relate to it. It's sort of a passion for them. It's gone into a culture. And that is what SA Beamer highlights. You know, we share pictures, we share, you know, people's stories, and people can relate to it, and that's what we're about.
So we're assuming that you started this because you have a love for BMW. And what specific BMWs do you own yourself?
So I've got, you know, when we were growing up, it was all about the E30s. I mean, we were exposed to stuff like the 635 from the early 80s. We were exposed to E30, 325, no, 333, 325 ISs. So that is where it all began, from being teenage years, owning a lot of E30s along the years, My first BM was a 333i. I now got the E60, the M5. I've got the E36 320, and I've also got a old E12. You know, the 1979 5 series. So that is the BMs that I've got now at the moment.
And I believe that you raced the Simola hill climb this year.
Yeah, so I've always been there. Because we're a magazine, we were always there as media, showcasing the events for the last maybe 5 years. And the one day I think it was in COVID, and we were live stream. And then, you know, I mentioned to my wife, I'd like to take part in this thing. And because you go into the pits, you get all the, you know, the adrenaline, you feel all the action, and you want to be part of it. So I tried, I sent them an application. When they sent me an email to say registration is open, I applied, and to my surprise, I got in, you know. So it's a very nice event, feels like, you know, an international event. And I would suggest anybody, if they have the opportunity to go to the Knysna Hill Climb and experience what it's about. So we did it the first time, did that as an exhibition to go and enjoy ourselves. And yeah, it was well worth it.
Okay, and Shirazo, what vehicle did you race at the Hill Climb?
My M5, the E60 M5.
Okay, and how was the experience? Because, you know, a week before the hill climb, we were actually driving on that road, and it looks like a really challenging route. I mean, the speeds that the guys are climbing up there, it's narrow, there's twists. Well, what was that experience like?
Yeah, no, the experience was very good. It's not like you see it on the TV, you see guys, you know, it looks slow, but there's, you know, the technical aspect, where do you brake, where do you turn? There's no barriers there, so if you slip off, you're down the mountain, you know? So that is one of the concerns. So you tend to take it a bit easy going up first time. There have been crashes there in previous years, bad crashes, but alhamdulillah, we went up okay. But I definitely want to do it again.
Alhamdulillah. And did you need to go for, like, any formal training, or do you have, like, a background in racing, or... You know, basically, you're sitting behind the steering wheel of a car, staring at Simola Hill Climb in front of you. What sort of preparation do you need to go to get to that point?
I think it's just a matter of, confidence in yourself that you're not going to burn it. You're not going to, you got to know your car also. You got to have your car sorted out. So 50% of the confidence comes from sorting out your car, having the right tires, not putting on cheap tires, sorting out your motor. I mean, we had to sort out the engine before we did the hill climb. So your car is a big, big important. Knowing your limits of your car, you know, that is what matters. And then you know your limits of yourself.
And Shiraz, can we ask you, what was your time?
By time, I think the fastest I did was 54 seconds. There was a lot of people that were faster than me, but this being my first time, I think it was okay. You know, I started off, I think, with a 58, then I went down to a 54, and then the next day on the Sunday, the rain started, so I went back to a 58. But I think on average, it was quite good considering the conditions being out for the first time.
Definitely. That's amazing times. So, Shiraz, let's get back to something a little local. Tell us what's happening this Sunday and where, and what can people expect, and why should they attend?
Yeah, so Sunday is an event hosted by the BMW Car Club of Gauteng. They have this event every year. This year, it's headed up by Johan of Vantage Automotive. He does all automotive art and nice frames and all that stuff. So he's taken over the reins of this year's event. And it's basically a BMW concourse where they have a specific categories of classes, which is classes that all the BMW clubs around the world adhere to. And they've got about maybe about 30 entrants, where cars will be judged on the cleanliness, on the presentation, on the originality, And yeah, the winners will get certificates and trophies and brag for the rest of the year.
Lovely. And tell me, what sort of BMWs can one expect to see? I'm a massive E39 M5 fan. Do you think I'd be privileged to get to see one?
Yeah, there was one there last year, very, very clean one, owned by Sean Singh of Stunetech. He had his blue E39 there last year. So you get to see those E39s, you get to see old 2002s, you get to see old E9s, you get to see like the E30s are there. You get to see the old M5s, you know, across the range, you know, the first M5, the second big M5. So you'll get to see all those rare BMWs there. They've been, the car club, the first time I went was, I was living in Joburg, and in 2003, I went to the Gauteng concourse. So it's been there every year since, you know. First it was at Nelson Mandela Square. Now they moved it to Midrand at Waterfall Park next to Mall of Africa.
Okay, okay. So definitely something that's on our calendar, inshallah, we will be attending. We hope to see a lot of nice BMWs, and I think both myself and Ziad are secretly big BMW fans. You know, this is amazing stuff from, and like you said, you know, South Africa has such a love affair with BMW. It's really what we need.
You know, it's a spectrum. It's from the older folk, the younger folk. You know this, so it's right across the spectrum. It's a love for BMW that I think is unmatched in the in the rest of the world.
Definitely.
Shiraz, just one last thing. How can people get in touch with you or SA Beamer if they want to, you know, like showcase their BMWs or just, you know, get in touch with you?
Yeah, so basically the easiest way is we've got two big social platforms, one on Instagram and one on Facebook. So a lot of people are either on one of the two. So when you look us up on Facebook or Instagram or our website, there's contact details there. You just message us, you send us a photo through, you tell us maybe a bit of history if you want, of your car, or, you know. And then that we'll showcase. It might just be nice, good quality photos. So we like to showcase South Africa, the cars, our people, and our country to the rest of the world. And that's what we do.
Okay. Jazakallah, Shiraz, for your time this evening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Barakallah. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So Ziad, one thing I should have brought up with Brother Shiraz here, was that if he's looking for a racing driver next year, he should look at the studio. I mean, we didn't do too bad at the Suzuki launch.
Or the AMG.
Or the AMG, yeah.
It's just that I don't know if you'll trust us with his car.
You know what, if he's still on the line and he's willing to pull out another two of his vehicles and put us on Samola, I think it's something that as a petrol head, as like a serious petrol head, it's a kind of bucket list. To not just drive it, I mean, driving it is like a very select few, but attending the event, I mean, it's literally like a festival of speed. It's amazing. I mean,
well, like you said, it's like an international festival here on our shores.
Yes.
So we should be there.
I mean, you look at how much manufacturers and OEM are putting into exposure at Samola. It's crazy. I mean, you got Ford bringing out the Raptors and sliding it around corners.
So just for our listeners who don't know what it is, just explain to them, Jamil, what Samola Hill Climb is.
It's, in my understanding, there's different categories of vehicles that get to the simplified way, climb a hill. It's not very simple, though. It's a twisty, bendy road. Obviously, it's an uphill climb. And you set your fastest time. But like I'm saying, there's different categories. There's motorbikes. There's cars that are built specifically for Samola. I don't know if you saw the one that won or the fastest time for this year. It was this GTR that literally had like this massive wing, everything. And like, you know, you've got like full-on teams. And, you know, it's really... it's really a big thing in motorsport.
Yes, but it's not only that. It's against the backdrop of Neisner.
100%.
So you take your whole family there, yes, and you have a wonderful weekend.
100%. And if you play golf, there's golf in Naizna. There's some really, it's beautiful. I mean, the sea is amazing. There's such nice roads, you know, back roads and stuff in the area. But I believe Brother Lucky is looking for us again. Time really flies on the show. Eh? Like you said, it starts off suffer and now it's another ad break. Brother Lucky, let's go for another ad break and we'll come back and we're talking about the new Suzuki Fronks. Yes, the name is Fronks.
CII Radio, the media voice with a global footprint. Tune in now.
Welcome and welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. If you've just joined us, it's kind of been a BMW show. I mean, we started off speaking about Ziad's 100th test car, which was a BMW 320, which transitioned us perfectly into the chat we had with Shiraz Bava, who is the
founder of SA Bima.
Founder of SA Bima. You guys need to check out his pages. He's got some amazing local BMW content. And more so, if you're around the Johannesburg area, please make a stop by at
Waterfall Park.
Waterfall Park, right?
At, that's next Mall of to, Africa.
It's in Mall of Africa. So make a stop. Because it's in the mall, you can leave the wife to go window shop and you can...
It's a BMW.
It's a BMW. The wives might want to take along. In fact, that brings me to something that's happening next week. We're talking Women in Motoring. It's Women's Month. And, you know, for our sisters at home, what sort of options are there for them to, you know, like look at motoring as interest, as
to get into the industry as
well. Exactly. But let's leave that for next week. For now, though, Ziad, well, how was your week? Well, what did you do?
I'm just going to say what the Fronks.
Yeah. No, the name is definitely a talking point, I'm going to say. Suzuki launched their all-new Fronks, spelled F-R-O-N-X. And when questioned about it, the marketing manager, Brandon Carpenter, said that it's basically two words together, which is frontier and crossover. So the X is from crossover and frontier, obviously. So they ended up with Fronks. Whether you like it or not, that's unfortunately the name. And,
but he gave a very good explanation about
it. He did. And I mean, just like this, I mean, it's a talking point.
Yes.
It's something that really gets their brands noticed.
Yes.
I mean, whereas other brands would look at, you know, FX5 and whatever it is, it's really a talking point. I mean, if you look at all their naming, it's kind
of... But it's not only a talking point, it gives it an identity.
Yes.
You know, once you start, like you said, you know, just giving it a few letters and a digit, it's almost robotic.
Yes.
And you want to have that because lots of people have a very emotional attachment to their vehicle.
Yes.
And you want to say, you know, when I was growing up, I drove a Fronks type of thing, you know, and I handed those keys over to my son. And so it has an identity. And I think that's like what Suzuki was trying to get from
it. So before we get into the vehicle itself, talk us through the launch there. Where was it? What did you do?
Okay, so let's just start at the beginning. At 4:30 on Tuesday morning, Brother Jamil decided that I didn't need sleep and he would be there because he was so excited to get to Cape Town, which was our destination point.
Look, I'm horrible with flights. You know that, right? And I'm always late. I'm always forgetting something. And it's not something big. It's like silly things that just delay you. Like, you know, the parking ticket or something in that kind of realm of things to forget. But this time I said, I'm not going to be late. I'm going to be on time. And because I was traveling with someone, I couldn't make them late. So Ziad was nice enough to give us a lift to the airport. So, yeah, I was on time. It was 5 minutes.
No, we were. You were before time. And we got there very early
to
the airport.
So have I redeemed myself?
Yes, you have.
Okay, good.
So you can always travel with me. But so we got there quite early to the airport and we read Fajr and then we made our way to the plane and we flew off to Cape Town. So Cape Town was our destination, the lovely mother city. We didn't get to see the beach again, though.
No.
Only in the plane.
It's like a tease thing. You land in, you see a little bit of it, and then gone. You'll never see it again for the day that you're there.
But there's so much to explore in the Western Cape.
Okay.
You know, when you talk the Western Cape, people just think it's just Cape Town, and that's it. We did, however, go into Cape Town. So we went from the airport. So we were greeted by the Francs at the Cape Town International Airport. And from there, we drove into town to District 6, to the District 6 Museum,
mm-hmm.
where we had the official launch of the Francs. It was nice to go there to see a little bit of my heritage there at District 6. I'm a bit disappointed that we didn't go through the museum, though, but obviously pressed for time.
Right.
We then drove out from District 6 and we went to our first stop, which was a little airstrip outside of Durbanville.
Yes, yes.
And
it was an active airstrip, just by the way. Like,
yes.
While we were driving in there, I didn't know, even know if, you know, we were cleared to do this, because we were driving on what seemed to be like, I'm going to say like a little bit of an older runway, like there's patches of grass growing through. But like above us, there was planes landing and taking off. So I didn't even know if we were supposed to be there. But yeah.
So we had a little bit of a gymkhana. So those who don't know what a gymkhana is, it's basically an obstacle course with a car. And you timed in it. And
get to the point.
What's the point?
The point is you beat me by one split second. One tenth of a second. Yes, whatever. Look, it was so close. But it was something that really, you don't think of a crossover or like an SUV in this kind of scenario. So I think it was fun to see Suzuki really show us what this car is capable of. I mean, it tests its like nimbleness, its cornering, reverse, etc.
It's very capable. Because can I tell you, I was actually scared when I was driving so fast around the corners at the first obstacle, but it handled very, very well.
Right.
And I was very impressed. So we then took the car to, where did we go after that?
We did a mountain pass. So it's Bainskloof.
Yes.
Stunning pass.
Yes. And we stopped on the bridge because Brother Jamil needed to take out the drone to take a few shots. But it's always worth
it. All for the content.
Yeah. So you must see the content on Instagram and wherever else it's posted, but in social media. And then we stopped for lunch.
Yes. I can't remember what was the place. It was like quite a quick lunch because we needed to get to a place. Oh, just correct me if I'm wrong. Is it the Riebeek
Kasteel? Riebeek Kasteel.
Okay, yes.
Yes.
First time I've been to that place. Quaint little town famous for farming olives, I think it is.
Yes.
And
avocados they have now
and
as
avocado,
well.
Yeah. So it's quite a nice place. If you are in the area in Western Cape, please go we checked out those wind farms. That was something new for me.
Was that on the same day?
Yes.
Oh yes, it was.
Yeah.
The Gouda wind farm.
Yes.
Yes.
It's like something from a sci-fi movie. It's like these massive turbines, but at certain parts, because of the way they situated, it just looks like it goes on forever. Like it's.
But in the Cape itself, Northern Cape, Eastern Cape, and Western Cape, there's quite a lot of those. You see it if you travel around. So if you're in the Cape region,
right.
You generally see these wind farms. And I definitely think that it could be an alternative use for power for the country.
Yes. And you know what? I'm going to jump ahead of something. When we went, the one thing I can tell you about Suzuki, they know how to do launches and they know how to cater for halal because the food was amazing.
Yes.
Right? They went and they found a specific Muslim caterer. The food, it felt like I ate the whole of Kurbani because it was amazing lamb and it was really, really good. It obviously did not, persuade my judgment of their vehicle. It really didn't. But let's get to the vehicle. What is the Francs?
Okay. So the Francs is a compact SUV,
yeah,
right, coupe styled crossover. Okay, let's say that slowly again. Compact SUV, coupe styled crossover.
Okay.
Yes. So if you have in your mind what, let's say, the Range Rover Evoque looks like, what your
X4
looks like,
yes,
the new Taygo, VW Taygo, all those coupe-styled looking, even the Lamborghini Urus, that type of vehicle, this is how Suzuki have styled their new compact SUV crossover.
So this particular style of vehicle, I like it because it's practical, but it also shows that you can be stylish. I mean, it has a nice sloping roofline, and the front is very similar to what we'd say is a Grand Vitara, right? So the back is a new back. It's an all-new model. In terms of drive, Zach, what did you think of the drive?
So it's got the Suzuki, the famous K15B engine, which is a 1.5-liter engine. So I like that engine.
Yeah.
I think that Suzuki have hit the sweet spot with that engine, and they can use it in all their models. They've done a very good job with it.
Yeah.
I always am not sure about the 4-speed automatic. So just to let you know, there's a 5-speed manual transmission and there's a 4-speed automatic transmission. And I always wonder, why do they have the 4-speed automatic transmission? And the marketing manager spoke to us and told us the reason why, because
and it made a lot of sense what he said. He said basically that when you're adding that extra gear, you basically just you're kind of shuffling your top end speed, and it doesn't do anything for the drive. And you know, when I read it, and I mean the Grand Vitara we drove, but when I read that it's a 4-speed automatic, I just thought it would be like hunting through gears. But I can tell you, open road, you know, town driving, these long sweeping hills and rolling hills, it was perfect. I mean, it felt at ease. It was like always in the right gear. You need to overtake, it drops nicely. We learned the trick of how to actually go through each gear on the gearbox.
Yeah, tell us about this trick, Jamil, for those that have Suzukis that don't know.
So basically, on a Suzuki vehicle, you've got a L, you've got a 2, you've got a drive, and then you've got an overdrive. Low is obviously first gear.
But the overdrive is a button.
A button,
just
yes,
so that people
yes.
know. It's on the side of the gear selector. Yeah, okay.
So low is first gear. If you then, once you reach the desired rev range, want to change, you then push the vehicle into second. Then you need to drive with...
No, so drive will be the third gear.
With
the overdrive.
With the overdrive on will be third. If you toggle your overdrive, it will then be fourth. Yeah. It's really, you don't need to do it. I don't know why I consume that information, but it's just such a nice car. Ziatara's pricing on this vehicle, because I'm so excited. I'm just looking at our screen here, and we have our first WhatsApp. Why are you getting a pricing on the Francs? Can I read this? It is from Shiraz Randeri. Assalamu alaikum, Uncle Shiraz sends us assalamu alaikum to the Bumper to Bumper team at CII Top Show. Excellent interview with Shiraz. Jazakallah, that means a lot. I also have a 2011 E90 320 diesel. Excellent car. Uncle Shiraz, I agree with you 100%. I wanted to buy one of these. If yours is for sale, please let us know. I had to decat because of a pulley issue. When you say decat, you mean like take out the catalytic converter. Stage 3 cannot break these engines 100%. If you... Oh, and he even sends us a picture.
Oh, wow.
Wow, it has CSO
looks...
wheels and everything. This is really nice, Uncle Shiraz. Seriously.
Very nice.
This is nice, mashallah.
When are we going to get a drive in it?
We need to do a review on... We need to start reviewing listeners' cars.
Yes, we should.
Huh? Do they trust us enough? I mean, we're good drivers.
No, we don't have to review it, but we can showcase them.
Oh, definitely.
So, I mean, if anybody wants us to come out and see their cars, you know, what they've done to it.
Yes. And let me tell you, this doesn't need to be, you know, a Ferrari or Porsche.
No.
Sometimes it's for me, vehicles are very emotional. So if you give me a story like, you know, you have this 1400 Bucky that's in your family for the last 3 years, please invite us to come and have a look at it and talk about it, and we could feature you on the show, inshallah. And
yeah, it was the first car that your family had, and you had to drive from Safa to Marwa.
but Uncle Shiraz's 3 Series is really, really nice. It's got like an M Sport back, just to let the listeners know.
Nice, clean, white.
It's really nice, yeah. I think
it's a nice set of rims.
And I agree with this, where you can't break these engines. If you go into Auto Trader or Change Cars or whatever it is, you type it out, you'll notice that, listen, there's mileages, especially on the E90s, that are going into the 300,000s easily. But yeah, sorry to digress, but also that was the very first message we've ever had. So I think we can give each other like a bit of a high five.
So jazakallah to Uncle Shiraz.
This made our day. But yeah, Ziad, thank you.
I think let's break for an ad now. And then when we come back, we will continue our talk on the Suzuki Fronks.
Okay, cool. Let's do that.
You're with CII, the globe's first Islamic satellite radio station. For the global ummah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. We are still.
I love the way you say that, eh? It's like so like pronounced, you know, like Bumper to Bumper. You know, it like gets me revved up for like the rest of the thing.
Well, I was stuck in Bumper to Bumper traffic this afternoon coming here to the studio.
You committed to Bumper to Bumper because he travels from Joburg to Pretoria on a Friday night to be here. So we are very appreciative of this. And the listeners are very appreciative of this. And we know that there's listeners because of the message.
Yes. Jazakallah to Uncle Shiraz once again for that beautiful message. And we're looking at your car here the whole time.
Not making misery. We're saying mashallah.
No, we're saying mashallah. It's a beautiful car. And may you have many more miles with it, inshallah. Kilometers. So we're talking Suzuki Fronks, and we're talking about pricing. Mm. Now, the pricing, is that a good point or a sore point?
For me personally?
For you personally.
I think it's an
excellent point.
Because we discussed this before, right? We had the chance of driving the car before we knew the price, and you asked me, what do you think the price is going to be? I was like almost, what, 80,000, 90,000 or not?
Like yeah, higher, you were.
Like 80,000 and higher.
Yes.
Like I expected the price.
Almost 100,000 then higher.
Yeah. So I basically based it to say, okay, it's going to be starting in under the Grand Vitara. This is the starting price of the Grand Vitara. So that's how I used mine, my calculations, my amazing mathematics.
But also with competitors, looking at the price of the competitors.
Yes.
It's like very well priced. So we're starting with the 1.5. So there's the GL and the GL Xtrim. We know Suzuki for their GL and the GLX. So GL is your standard, and the GLX is more, a little bit of luxury, I would say.
Yeah, a little bit of luxury, a bit more features. You know, you depending on which model you're looking with Suzuki, it might be, you know, some fog lamps, this and that, like, you know.
So it has your... in this particular vehicle, your heads-up display, your 360-degree camera, and the 7-inch screen.
Yes.
Color screen.
Yes.
They are a little bit more extras. But so the 1.5 GL 5-speed manual transmission, that's the entry level, is 279,900. 280,000 rand. What?
Brand new car. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a SUV. Okay, it's an SUV. It's not the size, but it's a compact crossover. It's very, very practical. It has a good engine. I mean, it's economical to run. Toyota are sharing engines with Suzuki, so you know it's reliable. I'm saying for that kind of price, why are we looking at Polos? Why are we looking at, you know, it doesn't make sense.
Well, this is much cheaper than your T-Roc and your Taigo.
I'm saying even if you are looking at buying, for example, a more premium hatchback, you could easily upgrade into one of these for the same price or very close.
I don't know. What else can you get for 280,000? You're going to get a small student car.
That's actually true. I mean, if you look at it, the Citroen that we spoke, the Citroen C3, starts at 230.
230.
Yeah, I mean.
So, and then the top of the range is 335,900. So 336,000, 336,000. And that's your 1.5 GLX four-speed automatic. And I mean, still, for 336,000.
Yeah, the pricing is aggressive. I think it's because it's a new model for them. They want it to gain traction and get some market share. I honestly think this is the right time to buy the vehicle. It's new. I also think it's a vehicle that's going to do very well for Suzuki.
But Suzuki, all around, their pricing is very well.
Except for the Swift Sport.
The Swift Sport.
Yeah, 400 and somewhere thousand. I don't think it's worth that much.
Have you driven it?
Mm.
You still don't think it's worth
it? No.
It's your opinion.
It's a warm hatch.
It's won awards, though.
No, definitely. I mean, it's one of those cars that prove you don't need a million kilowatts to have fun. But two things I remember about this vehicle was, firstly, it's a little bit of a, you know, I mean, you used to like hot hatches being like super quick and stuff. This thing drives really well because it's like a sporty build. But, I mean, it's a Swift Sport, so it like always feels like very sporty. But, yeah, that's the...
But 400,000, your hot hatches that you're talking about are 800,000, 900,000.
That is also true. But, like, I just feel like 320 is the price.
320. Okay, we'll negotiate with Suzuki. But these prices include a five-year 200,000 promotional warranty.
I know. That's very, very impressive. I mean, again, it just shows you. I mean, I'm willing to back my product. I'm willing to put my reputation on the line. It's all good news. I really enjoyed this car.
And a four-year 60,000-kilometer service plan.
Okay, so.
So you're getting value for your money. I mean, other manufacturers are telling you to add it on.
You know what I think we should do? Why don't we have a bumper-to-bumper car awards like the big guys? You know, we talk about the best value vehicle, the best SUV, the best bucky. Why don't we do
that? Inshallah, we can, and the listeners can all vote.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what it would be. We get the listeners to vote. So it's not a case of, you know, Ziad said this and Jamil said this, and I'm not getting cars anymore. I think that's a good idea. Another thing that we kept on discussing that's not as quick as the Suzuki, but like time is really going. I think we need to wrap up the show for today. But I enjoyed today's show. The BM and the Fronx was amazing. On that note, is there anything that you'd like to leave with?
So basically, Sunday afternoon, or the whole day basically, it starts at I think 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Waterfall Park. It is free entrance for spectators, as I believe.
Okay.
If you do have a car, I think there's different categories, obviously, so there's different pricing, 200 rand, 400 rand, if you want to get your car into it. But on SABMA, all the information is there. So it's a nice Sunday afternoon out with the family. And yeah, just have a safe week. Buckle up, and we will see you. Well, we will speak to you next week,
inshallah. From us, the Bumper to Bumper team, jazakallah to everyone who's listening. A special jazakallah to Uncle Shiraz. You really did pick up the mood on the show. Sometimes we really wonder, are people listening? But inshallah, we're working on this. We're getting our new WhatsApp number soon, and a lot more interaction between us. From us at the Bumper to Bumper team, Assalamu alaikum, enjoy your weekend and be safe.
Yes, jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You're with CII, the globe's first Islamic satellite radio station. For the global ummah.